Hello, Clippers. Welcome to Pain. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
Hey, and at this point, I'm just Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah, dude.
Even though the Clippers are no longer in it, we're still bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week. That you can count on. You can't count on the Clippers. Hell, you can count on us.
Until they tell us we can stop.
Or they take us off air, yeah, one or the other. Anyways, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
It's all we're going to talk about. This was the most disappointing loss in the history of Clippers fandom.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that Game 7 complete collapse. And then we're going to kind of go to some of your reactions. We got some great voicemails.
We got so many voicemails. We had to cut it down to like four because, I mean, we had like 25 plus. It was amazing, but some of them were a little colorful in language, which we had to cut down on. And hey, some of them, you know how it goes. That's just how it goes.
Hey, but you know what? The party hotline is going to stay open. What's that number, Chuck?
213-986-7354.
If you have any further thoughts on the Clippers season, perhaps where do they go from here? Maybe just a eulogy. Go ahead. Send those thoughts over on that party hotline. And then we're going to bring some more voicemails over into segment three. So all that and more just coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so if you missed this Clippers game, I guess Clippers lost 89-104 versus the Nuggets, and right off the bat, we have to give credit where it's due, which is to the Nuggets and Mike Malone and the Nuggets coaching staff.
Played great.
I believe they're the only team to come back from 2-3-1 deficits in consecutive playoff rounds.
I mean, yeah. The thing about the Nuggets is,
hey, they're Nuggets.
They get you right where they want you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think you're in the driver's seat, as PG once said, and really you're just careening off the
you
road.
You don't even know how to drive stick.
Jokic
had a triple-double. Murray had 40. Like, they beat us. We gave them room to beat us, and they took every single inch of that room. You know?
Definitely. Like, so I do want to just one thing about this, because I do think the move to have a more aggressive double on Jokic,
that was a very big thing in this game that we were kind of psyched on in the beginning of the game.
I got to be honest. I do think that makes sense as a move from a coaching perspective. I think it makes sense as a counter. The biggest fault to me in this whole thing was we were losing Murray in rotations.
There's still Jamal Murray.
Like, losing Murray in these rotations, I mean, that completely negates the point of a double. I mean, Jeremy Grant had a great game in this one. He was 50% from the floor. He was 33% from three. He had 14 points. But, like, the thing is if it's Gary Harris and Jeremy Grant, even Michael Porter Jr. to an extent beating us, Torrey Craig, you know, that I can understand.
You're already getting ramped up. You're already getting ramped up for the second part of this segment. We are so fired up about how bad Doc coached this game.
Sorry. I mean,
no,
that
I agree, man.
That I can understand. But this to me isn't even on Doc. Losing Jamal Murray in defensive assignments and in rotations is to me inexplicable.
It's on everybody.
It's inexplicable.
It's not just on Doc. I would say it's on everybody. But yeah, we talked about how Jamal Murray had 26 field goal attempts in this game.
Yeah.
That's more than Jokic and Gary Harris combined.
Yes.
And the man shot 60%. He shot 46% from three. You can't give this team hope.
Yeah. I mean,
and getting into Game 7 gave them hope. The game was not lost before it started. I'm not one of those Clippers fans.
No. No.
The game
this
was
lost.
This
isn't a curse. This was just a poorly played game once again.
And one of the things that goes, the game was lost when we were losing non-Jokic minutes.
Yes.
Like so Trez and Lou looked encouraging in the beginning of the game. There was some foul trouble stuff that did mess up rotation. Zoo really messed up, got too many quick fouls called on him. He had, I think, three the whole game, and two of them were called within the first, I don't know, 6.5 minutes of this game. We had Trez in with 8 minutes left in the first quarter, and it just, I mean, the things that Doc talked about not needing to happen, which was guard foul trouble, just happened immediately.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the thing that's so disappointing to me about this overall is that it was just more of the same. We had the tape.
There was no fight.
We had the tape on what happened in games 5 and 6, and we allowed the same thing to happen. Once again, the Clippers managed to not even score 40 points through a second half of basketball, which is...
losing basketball. We scored 89 points in a game 7.
Yeah, it's
absurd.
That's
horrible all around.
It's just it's just absurd to me.
I know that the easy scapegoat right now is Doc. I know that. But
no.
The team scoring 89 points.
It's in no way just on him. Like, if you look at this by the numbers, Kawhi Leonard was 6 of 22.
Kawhi and PG were not there tonight, which we're going to touch on in the next segment, but this is also why you have to close out games.
Yes.
In 5 and 6. We 100%. Talked about these two dudes versus the streak, right?
Yeah.
And they couldn't beat the streak. They had 24 points combined.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard was 6 of 22 from the field. Paul George just 4 of 16. Yeah, as you said, they combined for 24 points. The highest scorer on the Clippers roster.
Don't even talk to me right now.
Was Montrezl Harrell.
Maybe that was by the Nuggets' design.
And the thing is
he killed it
at
the free throw line. He killed it from the field. No boards. Three fouls.
Yeah, I mean, this was absolutely foolish in terms of a matchup. Just absolutely foolish. And I think that it made sense in the Plumlee minutes. You know, Montrezl Harrell played.
That was the thing, right? That was encouraging against Plumlee. Everyone was like, we opened up like a bit of a nine. I think it was like a 9-point lead, 10-point lead.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, shit, Trez versus Plumlee. This is it.
Yeah, no. Montrezl Harrell came up big in those minutes. Lou Will even had some of his best stretches in this game. Once again, he was 3 of 11 overall in this game.
It was all early.
But he had some solid stretches in those periods. But, you know, as soon as Jokic came in, I think anytime Montrezl Harrell was on the floor, I'm sure you out there listening, clearly you're an intelligent Clippers fan. You listen to this podcast.
Okay, we don't need to gas him up that much.
But anytime Montrezl Harrell was on the floor against Jokic, I mean, clearly everyone is just wincing.
I mean, the guy has 16, 22, and 13 against you, which is what Jokic had.
And we talked
and
about...
part of that is the foul trouble, right? Like, part of that is on Zoo for getting in that foul trouble. 100%. Part of it is Doc not playing the five-out lineup as much, which a lot of us wanted to see.
Which early on...
was 4 of 7 in this game.
Early on, I thought we would see more of the three-out lineup just because we did play it in longer stretches than we had at any point during this series. So I did think that was encouraging, but it still just wasn't enough. We talked about a key to winning this game would be keeping Jokic off the boards, and what do you know?
That didn't happen.
What do you know? He had more rebounds in this game than he did at any other game in the entire series.
Yep.
So not how you close out a game 7. And then one person...
We almost got doubled up. They had 53 rebounds. We had 37.
I got to be honest right here. I just quick say, one person who's not going to catch a lot of heat, but who deserves some heat.
Rodney Magruder.
Marcus Morris went 2 of 9 from the field.
Yeah, but does that kind of lay into, like, does that play into the same thing with game 5 and 6 with PG and Kawhi, where it's like these things should have been closed out?
Sure, but he had shit games in those, too.
No, that's fair.
He had 3 back-to-back-to-back, not very solid games.
Yeah.
And, you know... Once again,
we needed role players in this one. We talked about that. Everyone talked about there needed to be an X factor, which the Nuggets seemed to have the whole series, and we didn't.
Really. I didn't want to talk about it in the game preview, but I trusted the Nuggets role players coming into this game more than I trusted any of the Clippers.
It was tough.
Role players. You know?
Role players, of course. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we're not.
But my thing is starters. I've been so up and down on this Marcus Morris signing since it happened at the trade deadline. I went from, you know, it's nice to have. We don't really need it. To at points, he was, he was
the most important player on our team, literally in the bubble.
Absolutely necessary. To now, in, you know, back to back to back games, and certainly in a closeout game, I don't know what his future is with this team.
It's more solid than Trez's is.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Right? Like,
I'll give you that.
Between our two choices, he's more solid than Trez's.
I'll give you that.
No, I mean, this was. Oof, from an X's and O's standpoint, I mean, the defense just disappeared in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there's a switch that gets flipped in the third quarter in which the Clippers decide, awesome, this is a fun game. We're not going to really do anything anymore. And then it's just done.
Well, I know, and that's the thing, right? Like, I just feel like we haven't seen what this Clippers defense is supposed to be since...
The whole year! We never saw it the whole year!
We saw it in spurts, but certainly in this series...
Right before the pandemic is when we saw it. Yeah. That 6-1 stretch before the pandemic is when we saw it, and we never saw it. I'm going to save this for the next segment when it's a little more of a fan perspective from our standpoint. But no, I mean, there could have been adjustments made. I mean, for some reason, Reggie Jackson played 4 minutes in this game, which is something that I thought made me think that Doc had lost it. And
so,
by it, I mean the handle on the strategy for this series.
So we'll talk more about those minutes in this next segment. I think that this is one of those things that, you know, obviously Reggie has not been a winning player for this team, but I think it's one of those things where this team is getting down and nothing seems to be happening. And I think at a certain point, you just start throwing stuff at the wall.
No, there's no plan. There's no plan B.
Yeah.
There's no, the plan B was apparently play Reggie for 4 minutes.
And the thing that kills me.
Yeah.
Is that we talked about how we needed to control the pace. We managed only 4 fast break points in this entire game.
Exactly. They had 9 turnovers. They had 9 turnovers in the first quarter, and we managed, I think, 7 points off those turnovers. This game could have been put away.
I agree.
Oh, man. This was a tough go for Clipper Nation. Coming up, we've given you the stat perspective from this game, and then we're going to be giving you just kind of the fan perspective right after this. Okay, so this is just pure us as fans right now. Just Charles Mockler, William Updike, no nicknames, none of that stuff.
No nicknames, no dicking around.
Yeah, large truck just drove by, so you know it's real. This was, I mean, we're in pure reactionary form right now.
Yes.
We will preface it with that. This was as bad as the first year could have gone to have PG and Kawhi.
I agree.
It's as bad as this could have gone.
I mean,
coaching. Evidently, chemistry seems to be an issue. Kawhi in the post game talked about playing smarter on defense. I have a feeling who I know who he's talking about, but I'm not going to say it.
Definitely. And this was tough.
And also, goddamn, man, the second round again. Like, fuck.
The thing was, right? We talked about this. We talked about this from July 5th of last year. For what the Clippers gave up, if we did not at least have our first Western Conference Finals berth, this year was a failure.
And it was. This year is a failure.
This year is
an abject failure.
And I'm sorry to get down on you out there to Clippers fans. I mean, you know, it's not over yet, but this year was a failure. And that is not going to reflect positively when we're looking at trying to re-sign both of these stars in the next, you know.
Next year is so important.
Yeah. The pressure that we've now put on next year is so immense that whatever. You know what?
And Doc gets another year because we're going to talk. The next segment is kind of dedicated to a bunch of voicemails of people basically all saying Doc should be fired. But this puts more pressure on Doc. Like, look, this year, so I'm going to put my most apologetic Clips fans hat on right now.
Okay.
And that is, look, hello, governor. He's British. No. continuity, injuries screwed us the whole year.
Yes.
Right? If you want to think about it from the most positive light, injuries screwed us the whole year. Pandemic, get out of here. That's crazy. Lou Will going to Magic City. Oof, that one hurts. Trez's grandmother passing, very difficult time. Missed time with the team. That is also very difficult. We had a bunch of things to, you know, to kind of line us up behind the eight ball for this season. That is just objectively true.
No, that is very real. And that's a good point.
But
that is the one that, I mean, like, that is the one thing to keep in perspective. This was a funky ass year. You know, a lot went on. I do think that there is a certain benefit in this scenario, in this bubble scenario, to being a team with continuity. But, you know, clearly, that's not the only thing. The Lakers have done just fucking fine without it. So,
and rest is not an issue either. Like there was some quote unquote sources tweet about
it was from Mark Spears.
But they said that like the Clippers players were tired.
We don't air quote the media here. Yeah. I mean, if this was
who it was from.
Yeah, if this was something coming from the Clippers, let's not make excuses here. That was a pathetic game and a pathetic effort.
It was a poor effort.
It was a poor effort
all around. Like this didn't look like a team. This looked like a team that thought they'd already won Game 7 and this was Game 8.
Shamet broke his damn ankle, still hit a three.
That dude was going for it. Shout out to Landry Shamet. He also just returned and played okay. But no, and I think like this one just hurts. Like this hurts different, and we're gonna talk about the next segment than the Rockets series. Like this was the chance for the Clippers organization to show PG and Kawhi what was up.
This was our pitch, right?
Like
this was our pitch. And the thing is, I do think that part of this is, you know, we made too many moves. We made too many moves from what the identity of this team was last year, and that's going to be a problem. Clearly, I do think there's something to be said that maybe obviously the identity of what the team last year still wasn't necessarily a winning team.
I mean, technically it was.
How?
Regular season record.
Lost in the first round. This team had a better regular season record and a finish.
Man, I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little bit. Fucking chill out.
Dude, that last year's team wasn't better.
No, agreed. No one's saying that last year's team was better. Did someone tell you that?
I do feel like if this is the first pitch of the 2 years that you get with the team, fell really flat. You know, you have a joke that you think is fucking hilarious. You tell your friend and they're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, this is what that was. Like, there was just a tweet from Andrew Greif. Denver had 20 turnovers. They made only 13 threes, and they shot as many free throws as the Clippers and took 13 fewer field goals than L.A. We weren't prepared for this game. I'm in that camp at this point.
Nope.
Is that there's no way we were prepared for this game, and we showed it. Doc talked about how there's no rah-rah speeches before a Game 7. Maybe try one rah-rah speech, you know? Maybe give one,
This wasn't on a speech. This was a systematic failure of a scheme that, like, offensively was non-existent. A defense that...
Wait. Let's talk about that for a sec. Because in the beginning, Lou and Trez, there were times when Lou and Trez were actual positives on the court in this game. We were getting them in motion on the offense, and then that shit just evaporated.
Well, I mean, it evaporated because Jokic came back into the game.
You're not wrong.
That's the big thing here, and I think that it was a wasted opportunity all series if you were going to have Harrell on the floor to not go back to your bread and butter, which is that Lou and Trez pick and roll.
Move him around. Get Trez in motion is infinitely more effective than Trez standing under the basket and getting a handoff.
Or even worse, Trez getting the handoff at the foul line.
And saying, just go.
And fucking just trying to barrel
Hey, just go for it, big dog.
Every defender on the other team. I just think that this was an expression of what we saw all series and in our failure to live up to the defensive standards that should have been exhibited by a team with this person.
That we set for ourselves.
Not even that we set for ourselves. That what we should have exhibited as a team with this personnel. And offensively, we never found that person who could get us into sets, who could get us running some sort of cohesive offense. And I know that all year, you know, you and I certainly made the excuse that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are good enough ball handlers.
I'll eat those words,
To mitigate some of these absences at the guard, especially like a big playmaking guard. And, you know, we were really incorrect. And
incorrect.
We are really incorrect, and it, you know, it showed in this game. And once again, in the second half, you know, we just had no cohesion offensively. Bite. And like game after game after game, it was the same thing. We couldn't get into an offense in the second half of these games. We could not get into an offense.
Almost
and
choosing
run
not to.
Actual sets.
Yeah.
And now the things like some of the good shots not falling down, that you live with. That happens.
Look, Ole Miss.
That happens.
Ole Miss open shots.
Yeah.
Like,
that
I'm
happens.
Fine. If they're there and we're shooting them and they just don't happen to be going in, look. I'll live with it.
That happens.
But
you live and die by those shots. That's fine. What I can't live with is not having an actual offensive set.
No plan B.
Yeah.
There's never been a plan B. Oh, man. I'm about to have an aneurysm. Coming up, we got some voicemails, and there's a pretty common theme. But we're going to play them for you guys. But first, we got to give a shout-out to Built Bar. It's the new improved Built Bar. It's even more deliciouser. Then the last one.
Is that a word?
Hey, Built Bar just invented it. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. The 6 new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. You'll love it. They have their 12 original flavors as well. So there's anything that you really want to choose from for your taste, you got it. They're soft and easy to chew. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great low-lows, and high highs. Perfect for the keto diet. Right now, if you check out BuiltBar.com, you might get a free cooler, which, hey, things are opening up a little bit. Maybe you're having a backyard barbecue with 2 to 4 guests, hopefully not too many more, and you're all wearing masks. You can get a free cooler while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That is all capital letters, one word. And you'll get $10 off your next order. One more time, that is promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All right. Hey, so we're back with some voicemails. We want to thank everybody who called in these.
We had a bunch of voicemails. I'm really sorry if we didn't get your voicemail.
Yeah, sorry we didn't get to everyone. Clearly, there were a lot of thoughts on this game. But one more time, go ahead and give them that party line.
A lot of feelings.
Because we're still going to be taking people's thoughts and feelings. We'd love to know what you think going forward. Charles, what's that? What's that number one more time?
213-986-7354.
So please call in if you have further thoughts on the Clippers, perhaps your thoughts on our priorities this offseason, perhaps further thoughts on Doc or the future for this squad. Let us know. But getting to those angels who called in ahead of time.
Yeah, we're going to go with Red from the Bahamas with first. What does Red have to say?
Hey, guys. It's Red from the Bahamas. I don't have a whole lot to say. I went in with low expectations. I've been a Clippers fan for 15 years. So, you know, let's just say I'm used to it. I wasn't even excited after the whole blockbuster trade last offseason because I felt as though we gave up way too much for Paul George. Steve Ballmer felt the same way, but Doc Rivers convinced him that it was the right decision to make. So now that we get kicked out in the second round, I hope Obama makes the right decision and kick in Doc Rivers' ass out of LA. A long time coming, should have happened in 2015. Definitely needs to happen now. That man has got to be the most overrated coach in all of NBA history. He got lucky in winning that one championship with the Boston Celtics. He was not an accomplished coach before then. No one was ever calling him one of the better coaches in the NBA. Anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. Steve Ballmer just made the right move, man. I remember the Dunleavy years. I remember the chance to fire Dunleavy. Clipper Nation, I think it's time we start to fire Doc Rivers' chance. Anyway, guys, love the pod. Take care.
I gotta say, I'm bummed for Red.
I don't know. I mean, he wants Doc fired, and also, I mean,
I'm just saying, he's had a great vibe all throughout these playoffs.
He's had a great vibe all year. I'll tell you that. His vibe has helped us all year. I will agree with that.
I was hoping we'd go deeper in the playoffs, maybe celebrate in the Bahamas once all this shit blows over.
I would have paddled on down there if I could have. No, but I think Rad, hey, I mean,
We have to address the Doc thing, right?
So let's play this red thing, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to play this this voicemail from Everett, which has very similar vibes, but in a bit of a different display.
Hey, guys, this is Everett. Listen to your show all the time. Love it. You know, I'm not going to be upset about this. I'm not upset about this elimination. I'm going to take this as a positive because Steve Ballmer is a smart guy. He is a smart owner. And I know that he knows what we have to do. He's going to get rid of Doc Rivers. We're going to get a coach. We're going to have another year under our belt that we play together. Hopefully we'll get rid of Trez maybe as well. Who knows? Next year is going to be our year. We got this.
So Everett is actually happy that we lost because it might mean that we actually fire Doc Rivers. I have a take for everybody. Doc's not going anywhere. And I hate to say, I mean, I'm not happy about saying that, but he's here for at least another year.
We are stuck with Doc in what is, all right, so I got to be honest. I don't think that Doc is a bad coach necessarily.
I do now. In terms of the upper echelon of coaches, he is not in that tier.
I do think that he fails to make adjustments in the playoffs time and time again.
Yes.
In this series.
Phil Jackson knows it.
In this series, I do feel as though he was clearly outcoached. And the thing is, that's unfortunate for the Clippers, is that this is the best available coach offseason maybe in the NBA.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like the thing is we either promote Ty Lue / Sam Cassell, which a lot of people gave us voicemails about.
Or Mike D'Antoni is out there.
But it's what Kawhi...
Possibly a team that needs a defensive identity. Nate McMillan is out there.
But it's what PG and Kawhi want, right? They have one more year. Next year, we're all in, baby. Whatever PG and Kawhi want, if they want specific, you know, light fixtures put in the locker room, if they want a specific coach, if they want different shoelace caps for everybody, that's what we need to do. Because next year is
it.
Is it.
Is it.
It
period.
Is the all-in year.
And if we fail to retain both these stars, and I stress both. I stress both because of what we gave up to get both.
The future.
If we fail to retain both of these stars, it's looking pretty bleak for us as a franchise.
Agreed. We have a longtime fan. I believe his name is Mitch. He said it a little bit stylistically in the voicemail, but we're going to see what he has to say right now.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mitch, coming to you live and direct. Just wanted to let you guys know that you guys were great all season. This loss hurts really bad. I feel like I'm about to get choked up on the phone leaving this message. But yeah, this one stings a lot. This one stings more than the Houston loss. I've been a fan for 20 years, since the Knuckleheads, through the Danny Manning era, and all that. But yeah, this one hurts. I just feel defeated. At the end of the game, they showed Paul and Kawhi on the bench, and it was the same feeling. Just dazed, like we got hit and we didn't recover. Yeah, guys, so keep doing what you guys doing. I'm a mailman, so you guys keep me occupied a lot on the street. Peace, love y'all guys. Clipset for life. Can't quit this team.
I kind of agree. This one hurts more than this one has a tangible affect of worse than the Rockets series.
So this to me hurts so much more than the Rockets series because, and I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble out there, but
no pun intended.
Can we be real? Like the Lob City Clippers,
they had 1 year.
They had 1 year where they maybe could have won it, but
a legitimate chance. Yeah.
To be honest, for most of those runs, they were not even the best team in the Western
Conference. It wasn't like this. It wasn't Kawhi and PG and the sixth man of the year. Like, okay, they had the sixth man of the year a couple years, but like,
it was different. Like this. So this does definitely hurt way more. And once again, all credit to Denver. They played like they wanted it more. They were better coached. They executed better as a team. They played better as a team. And you know, you can chalk that up to continuity. You can chalk it up to whatever you want. But you know, They won. It's not like these were even close games or something where I could be
we put up 89 points right? in game seven.
Well, in the last three games, we lost by double digits in all of them. It's not like I could really even be like, you know, these were close games and they easily could have gone either way. No, the Nuggets won these games.
We
and the
lost.
Clippers lost.
100%. And then we have a voicemail that, I'm going to be honest, this one irks me a little bit. I enjoy Step Back Tree on Twitter. We're going to see what he has to say about his fandom.
What's up? This is Step Back Tree, a.k.a. Ben. I have a lot of thoughts in my head, but I really don't know what to say. The season was a failure. His team is a joke. You know, we saw it throughout the regular season. They just didn't look like a championship team. We tried to pretend like it was nothing. We tried to pretend like they could turn it on. You know, deflect, but we were wrong. And the media was right. The Clippers are not a championship team. They never were. I don't really know where they go from here because you can't run this team back. You can't. Doc Rivers is definitely gone, and I think his career as a head coach is over. He shouldn't coach again. He's a horrible coach. The players, Trez is gone. Get his ass out of – get him out of here. Lou, I think you just need to get rid of Lou because he's a liability. I don't know who else is on the roster, but PG, what do you do with PG at this point? Kawhi? I don't really know. But that duo doesn't work. They need either another piece – or pieces, because the team that we thought was built for this wasn't built for this, and it's just disappointment. So that's all I have. You know, we'll see who wins the championship. As for me, I'm not sticking around for this year of embarrassment and humiliation that Clipper fans are going to get, so. Probably going to deactivate my account on Twitter and, you know, reassess my Clippers fandom. So, yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
So, I will agree that the Clippers thought that they could just, quote unquote, turn it on.
Yeah.
That was something we talked about all season. Anytime the Clippers lost, there was a section of fans on Twitter that were seemingly never worried about any of the concerning trends that happened, despite them being kind of actual glaring issues and stuff like that. I think Trez should be gone. We should not re-sign Trez. However much money he's going to want is too much money. Lou, think we might need to keep him. He might be valuable. But don't reassess your Clippers fandom.
No.
That is crazy. We're in this. You're a Clippers fan. You can't. The only thing worse than being a Clippers fan is being a Clippers fan and then switching and having to tell people you used to be a Clippers fan and then you couldn't deal with it and you switched. Right? Like, so you're just too soft?
My thing is this, right? This is what Clippers fandom is.
This is exactly what
this
it is.
Today is 100% what Clippers fandom is.
This is. Yeah.
And you know what? It hurts right now. It hurts a lot.
Oh, it stings.
But the thing is, it's the same as it's always been. If and when we do make it to that sweet, sweet Larry O.B.
You better be ready.
It will have been so worth it.
Exactly.
I even say that right now. If we make it, it will have been 100% worth all of this.
Yeah, and that's next year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't reassess. Look, if you're going to reassess your fandom, I don't know. Choose the best team then, right? Like, we're all Clippers fans. Continue to be Clippers fans. That's the whole point, right?
Yes.
Like, if you got into this to win championships, you picked, no bullshit, the worst team you could have possibly picked. And I mean that in a nice, loving way.
Like, yeah.
There's people who decided 7 months ago to be Clippers fans.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Now they're like, oh, wait, this
welcome
sucks.
To pain is all I have
to pain,
say.
Baby.
Welcome to pain.
Yeah, this is life. Anything else in shavings before we just get do whatever we're supposed to do in the off season now?
Hey, so the thing is, you know, this is a huge disappointment. But
agreed,
we still have one more year with these guys.
Hell yeah,
we have one more year that we can try to get things together and get things right. Hopefully, we're playing under somewhat normal circumstances next season. Still, no guarantee on that. But look. It can't get any worse.
Hey, baby.
It truly cannot get any worse. If we lose in the second round again next season, it truly cannot be worse than this year.
Couldn't agree more. We hope everyone's doing okay. We might put this one out a little bit early. It's already 10:40. Who cares? Thursday's episode, no idea. Who knows? We still got to go 5 days a week, so this is going to be a fun time.
Yeah, we're going to be coming back at you. We're going to do kind of a is it moratorium?
I don't know.
Is that the
matter.
Correct nomenclature?
Sure.
We're going to do a moratorium.
We're sitting Shiva, I think, for the Clippers.
We're going to do a moratorium on the season. We're going to have breakdowns for you guys clearly on, you know, the times that this team has clicked and has executed well, some sort of light spots, as well as some things that definitely need to be addressed. Clearly, there's going to be a lot of things to talk about in this upcoming offseason. Surely, you know, while Doc is almost assuredly going to stay.
For truly an undisclosed time and amount of money. We literally have no idea how long and for how much money he's signed for.
There are still things that can be done with this roster. There are still things that could maybe be done with the assistant coaching staff, especially if we lose both.
Yeah, promote him to head coach.
Of Ty Lue and Sam Cassell. So there's still a lot of stuff to talk about. And if you're a new Clippers fan, hey, stay rocking with us. We still got great content for you. And if you're a regular Clippers fan, hey, come on.
You know what's up.
We got this.
You've been here.
Come on.
You know what's up. Get back up. Dust yourself off.
We're built for this.
We're exactly built for this. But yeah, here's to a good time on Thursday's episode. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes. Please leave a rating and review. Subscribe if that's your thing. The off season's coming, which means, hey, things are about to get a lot weirder on these episodes.
I can't wait to talk free agency.
Fatty Patty C is about to be on here more. Carl 50 Tart.
50 devil emerges. Emojis.
Okay. Yeah. Carl Tart's probably going to be on the pod a lot more now that he's, you know, freed from the reins of not talking about how Doc should be fired. Anyway, hope everyone does okay. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Hey, thank you so much for following us this season. I hope you continue to follow us. We've got more great content coming for you. And you know what? We appreciate you.